For 8-11-11-11, now with 100% less no video games, it's Video Games Hot Dog. Guys, the first 8 minutes of last week's podcast was, I think, the worst 8 minutes that has ever been committed to recorded audio.
I think that's awesome that we get the distinction of having that be true.
I say that about having listened to an 8 minute fart.
I don't remember what that's we were talking about.
No, because we weren't talking about a goddamn interesting thing. We were trying to talk about video games, and we hadn't done anything at all
interesting. That's right. Okay, now I remember. Okay, screw that segment.
No, it was great.
I'm Zach.
It was hilarious.
Oh, right. I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
Riff was just flipping through the American Apparel catalog. They finally figured out a way to stop people from jacking off to it. Put a baby on every page.
A baby or a dude in his underwear.
I don't know that that's necessarily going to stop some subset of people that want to jack off.
So, new rule. If we have not specifically gone out on some sort of outing, some sort of organized, like let's say we go on a camping trip to Philmont with the rest of the Boy Scouts, so that we have something non-video game related to talk about, we're not allowed to do a non-video game segment.
That's not a real thing.
All right.
You can talk about what you did that week.
You have 30 seconds to not bore me or we're ending this segment.
Give me a break. You get bored by things that you say. Well, you're doomed.
Like the things
I'm
in the beginning
totally
of last
asleep
week,
already.
So yeah, Riff was looking at porn.
That's not what he's been doing this whole week, though.
Kevin's
actually, yeah.
Okay.
I did nothing.
I didn't know that for sure.
I did almost nothing but play video games for the entire time since the last time.
I have done very little in terms of video game attitude.
One episode of the old Mission Impossible show.
Yeah.
Kevin, you've done a lot of extremely
I nearly
boring
watched
work.
A movie.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Good. I watched The Adjustment Bureau. The Adjustment Bureau?
I never heard of that.
It had the doctor from The Truman Show.
I think so, yes.
The doctor.
Dr. Truman?
No, Dr. Artist.
The guy, yeah.
Jackson
Pollock? It had...
Jackson
Pollock? Matt Damon was the main character. It's kind of cool. It's about, like, people who adjust people's lives... and you're not supposed to know about them, and Matt Damon finds out about them.
Is it like that episode of Amazing Stories where they find the blue guys that build every moment before it arrives?
Kind of. Yeah. It's very much like that. Yeah.
It was like, I remember that was weird. That was like a Philip K. Dick concept,
Dick,
I think.
He wrote the I don't know, it wasn't called The Adjustment Bureau or whatever. Yeah.
Was that before or after he went crazy?
Yes.
He was crazy the entire time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like he was born crazy.
There was a really neat, post on Warren Ellis's blog back when he used to play Second Life all the time. There was a glitch that went on for rather a while where people's avatars would have some part of the texture would not load in properly, so it would just be white with lettering that said texture not loaded, and he had this screenshot of a close-up of a girl's face and
just
her eyes, not like her entire eyeball just said texture not loaded on it. It was very cyberpunk. It was pretty cool. But he used that opportunity to talk about that Philip K. Dick story.
The texture not loaded story?
Oh, just the idea of, you know what I'm
saying. I should
change
my name to Philip K. Dick story.
Philip K. Dick story?
Just write a bunch of flash fiction. Flash fiction.
Flash
fiction?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about like a tower defense
anime.
Game.
Yeah.
Having sex with a...
A dick.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess the majority of my time in the past couple of days that has not been doing boring work, like paychecks and stuff like that.
Like writing checks.
Has,
and cashing checks.
Yeah, exactly. Has been...
And hat check.
Packing up my girlfriend's possessions. I hate packing. So I just...
You like packing fudge, am I right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if there were a lot of trying to
move in when they're filming a movie about a lot of screaming.
What was that all about?
I don't even know. People filming a movie at our house. And
oh, right. They're screaming.
It went on way longer. Yeah, there was mostly about a little girl shrieking. Apparently.
Sounds like a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about what the quality of the movie is going to be like in the end. The stuff that we saw, like visually, looked pretty cool, but I don't know what it's going
to
be
like. It is also extremely hard to tell. Like when you watch like actors in a place doing lines, you're like, what the, that was awful.
That's
all the cocaine, you mean?
And probably, yeah, yeah. Like, why are you doing cocaine off my piano? But really, why are you letting fucking little kids beat on my piano? That's what I want to know.
Were there kids
playing?
There
were people playing the piano. Like, some of the actors brought their kids and stuff. Like, that, we bit off more than...
There were
kids in the movie.
Kids in the movie.
Right.
Were there additional kids?
80 kids in the movie, and there was a scene where they all bang on a piano with an ice cream cone. So they treated my piano as though it were a drum, and I said, kids, it is a percussion instrument, but you're not supposed to hit it with things, and if you were going to hit a percussion instrument with something, it should be a drumstick and not an ice cream cone. And they were like, oh, so they ran to the freezer and got one of those drumsticks. It's like a waffle cone.
Oh, I thought they just got some sort of, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken the other day. This is an interesting story. I ate a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I ordered a pizza, and it came with chicken strips.
Mm.
Was it a combination pizza at KFC?
No, it was at Papa John's.
Oh, okay. So how was that KFC that you had?
It was the same as it always is. Hasn't changed
same
a lot.
As it
you
always
know,
was.
You know, they had to shorten same it to as, KFC, KFC it because the state of Kentucky exploded and does not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, I believe that. Huh. They have cyber technology. They're all robot chickens.
Oh,
not robot.
Doing jokes
that was
about
thing.
Star
I,
Wars.
I was just saying robot chick. I was just using those two words to mean what they mean, not realizing that I was talking about a thing. All right, so I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this from being the second worst.
That was
eight
great. This was a great
in recorded
eight
history by cutting it off before 8 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Sweet.
We are funny dudes.
If only that had been a sweet segment, bros.
It was better than last week.
Hey, what video games, guys?
I've been playing...
Yeah, you go first this time so we don't fuck around and
so
skip
don't,
you.
Yeah, so don't skip me. I was so sad. I played a bunch of Two Worlds 2 again, or still.
Has it developed since the last time you talked about it?
Not really. The only thing, there's kind of a funny thing that happened, was that...
Were you on the way to the Two Worlds 2 forums?
I play video games mainly on the one monitor, and I keep KOL chat on the second monitor so I can see what people are talking about. And normally what I play this way is Minecraft, so when somebody says something in KOL chat and I want to reply, I hit T, which opens a chat box in Minecraft and frees the cursor so that I can give so I can click on Firefox on the other monitor and type into our chat window.
You're right. This is so much more interesting.
But I'm getting there. There's some exposition. I'm sorry. But in Two Worlds 2, what the T key does is cause my character to strip off all his armor and stand around in his underwear. So
why is there a key for that?
Yeah,
it's actually the key that causes him to switch to his second armor set. But currently, his second armor set has no armor in it because I sold it all.
Okay.
So there's.
You were being a little disingenuous there.
Just a little bit for the sake of a humorous anecdote.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, that's about it.
Did you play more L.A. Noir?
I've finished L.A. Noir. That is why I'm back playing Two Worlds 2. I played.
Did it have a satisfying ending?
Yeah, some pretty satisfying stuff happened. It had a very noir-y ending.
Do you get the girl, but her head has been bludgeoned?
I don't really want to talk about it because it would be spoiler.
Does the game allow you to continue to play in the sandbox of the world after you have beaten it?
Or do you have to commit suicide at the reactor to get?
No, you would have to reload a previous
project.
Save,
Gotham Racing off the. What was the name of the thing that your dad did in Fallout 3? The project.
Oh.
It was Project Gotham Racing, right? No, what was that operation?
Dumble Drop.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Dumbledore Drop.
Dumbledore.
Drop.
I don't even have any idea.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, you know, the water purification project.
You didn't play Fallout 3 because you don't know.
Oh, your dad.
Quality.
I thought you were talking about Riff's dad.
I did for a minute, too.
Yeah, Riff's dad wrote a bunch of the DLC.
Yeah.
You know, the Operation Dumbo Drop DLC for Fallout 3.
All right, now I have some idea what you're talking about, and I have no idea what the content of the answer is.
I also played The Stanley Parable. Have you guys played that yet?
No, that's that Half-Life 2 mod that you can't talk about.
Yeah, you can't talk about it without spoiling it. So we can't say anything more than you should play it.
It's good.
It's very good. It's got some good surprises. It's really funny.
Something to play Half-Life 2 though. So
well, it's not. It's a totally separate thing. It's not part of the story.
Do you have to install? What do you have to install to be able to run it? Do you have to have
Half-Life 2 installed? All you have to have is Half-Life 2 installed. Yeah.
I don't think I have Half-Life 2 installed on my computer.
And it's pretty short. It'll take you like half an hour, 45 minutes to install it and see everything in it. So,
cool. What about that spaceship game you were playing?
Spaceship. Oh yeah, I played a fair bit of Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's, you know, it's a Metroidvania. It's pretty simple. There's backtracking, but I kind of like. I mean, people. We mentioned last week that people seem dubious about the fact that it marks your map with the icon of the items that you need to get through places, but I found that really handy. That was a problem. That was a problem I had a problem with in the DS Castlevania games, was not being able to remember where it was I saw that thing that I need this new thing to get through.
Yeah, it helps once you can annotate the map, right?
Yeah, like, but you can't. I mean, have you been able to do that in any of? I mean,
oh, I don't know.
That's the thing that was really good about the DS Zeldas, and I wish every game on the DS would allow you to annotate the maps.
Although I'm glad that no other games on the DS are as bad as the DS Zeldas.
Spirit Tracks
is definitely not my favorite, but almost entirely due to that stupid train.
I mean, just like Wind Waker sucked because of the stupid boat. I mean,
yeah.
So. I'm beginning to think that it's
Legend of Space Zelda is our next game.
Yeah, spaceship face. Skyward Sword. I mean, maybe the sword is a spaceship.
There's a bird sword. You fly on.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and there's also the gayest villain you have ever seen. Like I'm not using that as a pejorative. I mean that literally. He is
homosexual.
He escaped from the evil Pride Parade float. He's skinny guy with the blonde emo haircut wearing skin tight.
Skinny because he has AIDS? You fucking racist.
You don't be putting that in my mouth. Because I don't want AIDS either. But wearing the skin tight white latex outfit with the Harlequin diamond cutouts all down his legs and hairless chest, and at one point he leers at Link and licks his lips. It was frightening. It was.
Huh.
I've never seen a character in a video game who is that blatant.
Maybe he's licking his lips because he has one of those mister systems, only instead of hooking it up to water, he's hooked it up to, like, grease from fried chicken. And so he's constantly licking a thin film of fried chicken flavor off of his lips because it's delicious.
If that is true, then I apologize to all the people in the world who have chosen chicken fat misters as their sexual preference.
Okay.
Or been born that way.
On his mustache?
Whichever it might be.
Mm-hmm. So it's just always
does he have a mustache?
No.
Well, he'd be gayer if he had a mustache, right? Does he speak with a lisp?
He's twink gay. He's not bear gay.
I see. I don't know these terms. So somebody gave him, like, a higher level character
a bunch of gear
really overpowered
for
him.
He's level 19.
Cool. What I was going to say
is
I
a lot
think
of flying.
Maybe the Zelda
there
series
seems
isn't
like
good
flying
anymore.
In the new. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of gameplay.
I kind of feel the same way about Zelda that I do about, like, REM or They Might Be Giants. Which is that it's like, maybe your careers have gone on a little too long, guys.
Huh.
Like, you know, like Miyamoto said, if we're still doing Zelda games in 1999, I'm going to release one last Zelda game on New Year's Eve and then kill myself. And then came and went and he had signed a new contract and he didn't do it. And then ever since then, we've just had a bunch of sort of crap Zelda games. They're just good enough,
them,
but
there are actually more Zelda games, or do you think that you are like in a coma and this is just some sort of protracted nightmare?
Incident at Owl Creek fart.
Yeah. But instead of your past.
I wish they would just
future.
make more of the DS games, but without the fucking boat or railroad. Was that even necessary?
Make a fucking, like, Link to the Past 2.
Yeah.
Right? And that
I liked just the overworld. I liked the original Zelda stuff, too.
Sure.
Like, that works fine.
Make a Zelda 1.1.
Yeah.
The second quest. 2.
I The 3D Dot Heroes was pretty close to like a Zelda game.
Yeah, I totally lost interest in that. Yeah, though. And I don't know. Why like, you, I, yeah, play, I played here. It for 15 minutes and then I was like, eh.
Like it looked, like an it looked hour to me exactly then, like a Zelda yeah. game, except for just like cooler, different graphics. But and was, you guys both lost interest, and I was like, but why?
It was exactly
why not?
Like it was not so much exactly like a Zelda game as it was exactly a Zelda game. Like it was,
but it was there more, was it was like a new Zelda game.
But there was nothing any different about it. There was nothing.
There was plenty
it
different.
Didn't add anything.
There were voxels.
I remember there being something obnoxious too. Something that bothered me about like the basic just moving around.
I don't remember.
Something that reminded me of the fucking bucket from Crystal Crapicles.
Oh, there was one other thing that I played was Godville on the iPad, which is basically progress quest, except the concept is that you are your hero's personal god and you have some god power that you can use to encourage or punish your hero, black and white style. And also you can send them messages, which it then checks for keywords, which end up being instructions to your hero, which they may or may not pay attention to.
Huh. Can your hero be a cow?
No. You get to choose male or female person.
Does the first level take like 4 hours and you can't fucking skip it even though it's a tutorial?
Yes.
Okay.
Your hero gets one action a minute. And things like combats frequently take like 6 or 8 actions.
Does he play even when you're not
yes.
logged into the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically exactly like Progress Quest, except you can sometimes send some slight
influence over it. Yeah. Did you pay money for this game or was it free?
No, it's free.
Is there a microtransaction to get him to do actions every 55 seconds?
There is a microtransaction that gives you bonus charges to refill your god meter.
I thought you were going to say there's a microtransaction that gives you boner.
If you're really into the god meter, it might.
Like, you can pay 50 cents to get an American Apparel catalog.
They'll send you that for free.
Well, but, they'll send it for you for free if you buy thousands of shirts from American Apparel wholesale.
Sure.
The other feature of it that's kind of interesting is that once your hero hits level 10, you can start sending in... you can start sending in suggestions for, like, silly item names and stupid monster names, and once you hit level 15, you can vote on the submissions that other people have made.
Huh.
And they don't... Winning submissions don't necessarily go into the game, but...
They get modded up.
Yeah, that determines which ones get sent to the actual admins for consideration.
So are you just choosing between cock, comma, balls, and balls, comma, cock?
They're slightly better than that, but not a whole lot so far. There's been a... I've been looking at the lists, and there's been a couple of funny ones, but overall, people aren't funny.
If you get to a high enough level, can you just stop that whole thing from happening?
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be good. Yeah. What I actually want is if you get a high enough level, I want to be able to take ones that already exist in the game away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are there dumb ones?
There are some dumb ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you funny know, what are you going to do?
Content creation is tough.
Yep. Not everybody is as hilarious as we are, guys.
That's the truth. You wouldn't know it from listening to the first few minutes of this podcast. So
yeah, that's what I've been playing.
What about you, Kevin?
I have not had much time to play anything. I played a single Flash game, and I didn't really play it enough to know a ton about it. It was it's called Steamlands. You heard about this?
Is that Nitrome tank?
Yeah. Nitrome? Oh, right. Just Nitrome?
Nitrome? I don't know.
I don't either.
That's the one with like the Tetris tank, right?
I was really looking forward to that. And
it looked really cool. And then I played it for maybe a half hour and I was like, this is not really fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
And the controls were really frustrating. Like I kept accidentally pulling my guns off my tank instead of aiming them.
Yeah. Having to click on the guns was bullshit. Yeah. And the fact that you moved back and forth, but like it was atmospheric, like having that little steam lever thing, but like
that was a terrible way to have to actually move. Like just a bunch of problems.
The construction was not nearly as interesting as I expected.
And maybe it gets much better once you open up a bunch of stuff, but like it basically killed my interest for it in the first half hour.
It was weird. It's a good start for something awesome.
There was all of this press about it, like because it looked really cool. Like the videos that they released was like, wow, that looks really good. But then it came out and it was like, wow, that is bad.
Yep.
And when I was like, hey, I wonder if that Steamlands game ever came out. And I looked and it had been out for a couple months. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Didn't get any fanfare at all. And then I was like, oh, I'm excited about this. What other games have they made?
Nitro?
Yeah, did they make...
They make like, a ton of games in that style.
Did they make the one that Fault Line game? Yeah. Is that one of theirs? Yep. A lot of people like that. I was not so in love with it.
I can't get into puzzle platformers.
That was your impression of it, though? Was same as mine?
Yeah, it was just like... I wanted it to be so much more and was just disappointed at almost every turn. And I don't know what I would have done differently. I think I would have revamped the controls tremendously, though. Just like turn on all your guns, since it doesn't, like, at least the ones that I got didn't matter whether, like, they all just fired forward. I guess you could aim some later ones or whatever, right. But then,
yeah.
Then,
so you would put in a button to fire all of the guns at once and then another button to explode into space.
Yes.
Okay. And then it becomes like a spaceship tank game.
Yeah. But I would have just added a bunch more keyboard controls that did something. And, you know, maybe there's some way to configure all that. But yeah, just the way that it was presenting it to you, and like I was super confused by the tutorial movies too. 'Cause you can watch all of them at the very beginning, but you can't like advance them. It was just super, like there's arrows, which I thought was just taking you from one slide of the tutorial to the next, but it's actually advancing you to the next tutorial,
which runs really, really slowly.
Yeah. And so I was like, what? And so like I missed the first tutorial entirely. 'Cause I like looked at it and I was like, this doesn't really seem to make any sense. And then I played it and I was super confused. So yeah, back to the drawing boards, guys. Keep the idea, revamp the...
We'll keep the visuals, yeah. Revamp the gameplay, right?
Well, yeah, so, and maybe just the control scheme. Maybe the game is fun enough later on.
It was kind of like that Captain Forever game.
I don't know that one.
It's like the space shooter with really, vector-looking graphics where you blow up ships and then collect the pieces of them and glue them onto your ship.
Okay. I do
was
know
it called
that
Captain
one.
Forever? It was something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah. I remember that was pretty interesting.
Space Trucker.
There's been a lot of sequels to that game. I saw something about that recently. There have been there was one more free game, and then they've sold another game that's kind of like an adventure mode version of that, which I think would be really fucking cool, actually. I intended to look into that. You guys, I've been playing so many fucking video games.
Yeah.
That's really it, Kevin?
Yeah, literally just the one game.
That you would besides play one the assignment. Game for like a half an hour, yeah. Which you started playing like a half an hour before.
One hour. I played an hour of it. Yeah.
You got, that was enough.
Yeah, well, that was enough. You told me that, so that's why I wasn't worried about it.
Yeah.
And I made sure that I had at least an hour to play it.
So I actually spent a tremendous amount of time playing iPhone games. A couple of them.
Oh, actually, I did play another iPhone
What'd
game.
You play?
I found this adventure. I have to look at it because it's on my phone. I had heard about this adventure mode game called Bug Heroes Adventure or whatever. But
what
there's
do you mean
like
adventure mode
game? Well, like an RPG.
Okay.
And but they had sort of their... I don't know if it was a proof of concept of their engine or something like that was free, just called Bug Heroes. And so I got that and I played that a bit. And it's okay. It's like a 3D shooter where you get to control a couple of different bugs and you're like, you defend a food stash and monsters come and attack and stuff. It's strange. It's like a tower defense game where you have a single tower. And there's a bunch of waves of incoming sort of from all over a different 3D environment.
And the
environment.
Tower can move around?
No, tower stays where it is.
And the tower is actually a scientist you have like a Freeman.
Yes.
And you defend a series of...
Oh, that would be kind of great in the tower defense game if there was an Easter egg tower and it was just Gordon Freeman smashing everything that came near him
with his crowbar. Crow hammer.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it's free. It's worth checking out in that regard. But it didn't blow my mind or capture my imagination. A lot of the unlockables in the game are pay only.
Oh.
Yeah.
It would be antlions would be the creeps.
All right, so you've been playing a bunch of iPhone
games.
Yeah.
So a game that I think is normally $1 was free the other day. I think I saw like a special linked on like Touch Arcade or something. It was called Amazing Breaker. And it's about people plug in hair dryers, and when they plug in too many hair dryers, your job is to cut off the power.
Push them all into the bathtub.
Yes.
It's to cut off the power.
No.
But you are a breaker.
I'm kidding.
You're making up all of this stuff.
So it is kind of like Angry Birds. I thought if Kevin sees me playing this, he's going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
You have a catapult, and it's at the bottom of the screen. It's kind of, it's more like shuffleboardy sort of than Angry Birds. It's more shuffleboard than
because it's like top down instead of arcing top down to the side.
And so you get like the thing that I like about this game is that it has an extremely well realized aesthetic. Like, it is very pretty. Everything looks good in it. And there's nothing that doesn't look like it belongs there. You get these pictures that are like these big shapes that are made out of colored glass. They're very pretty. And then you get, there's four different kinds of bombs that you use to break these pictures away. And so one of them, just you shoot it and it sticks and it blows up.
Okay.
And it gets rid of a chunk of it. One of them, you shoot it and you can tap and it splits into three, just like Angry Birds. And it then just leaves these three sort of mines. Anytime there are gems on the board, sometimes it starts with gems, the thing that splits into three gems. Gems that are close enough together become linked, and then if one of them gets blown up, it will chain react and blow up the other ones. There's another one that floats over top of it, and you can kind of guide it. You launch it, but then you can sort of like scrape the screen to slow it down and speed it up and steer it while it's there, and it just goes up to a specific spot and blows up. And then there is a fourth one that like also goes over top of the thing, but you launch it and then it drops a number of gems and then blows up. So it's kind of puzzly in that you will get a couple of bombs to start with, and then a specific spot on the object will become a thing that you can blow up to get a new bomb. So okay. There's some puzzly aspects to it. Like, you can also try and blow up 100% of all the glass on each level for to get more stars, more accomplishments, achievements or whatever. But it's just, I don't know, it's a very simple game, but it was just really well done. Angry Birds is so fucking ugly that I hate it. I hate it. And even though this is almost the same game, I just don't mind this.
I wouldn't call Angry Birds ugly. I just think it's dumb. I don't see why people are so fascinated with it. It's like no gameplay. Yeah.
It's got gameplay. I mean, so this has the same problem that I often bring up about Angry Birds, which is that the sort of granularity of the controls is so high that it potentially leads to situations where the designer, if you don't trust them, is going to create these things that require you to just do like a pixel perfect shot in order to get the desired outcome, right? Which I don't like that. You know, we had this discussion about Plants vs. Zombies versus Angry Birds,
right?
And how I feel like the Plants vs. Zombies is just a billion times better game.
Oh, I agree.
Than Angry Birds. But the reason that I think it is better is because there is a much coarser granularity in where you can take action. It's like the difference between Geodefense and Geodefense Swarm. Right? Geodefense Swarm, you put towers in specific points on a hex grid. Geodefense, you put them down at a specific pixel location, and sometimes being off by a tiny bit screws up the like timing on cycles, and you've done the wrong thing. But it wasn't wrong enough that you can actually visually distinguish it from the right thing. So, you know, if they were on like a grid of graph paper, it would be an entirely different game than it is because of the fineness of the controls.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is definitely like
doing
like
a physics simulation though, right? So they,
sure,
they need there to be and they also fudge it. Like, two identical launches will have slightly different results.
They do, yeah, with Angry Birds.
Yeah, with Angry Birds.
In this, I don't know that they have to. There is a frustrating aspect of it, though, which is that if you're like pulling it back on this slingshot, but if you accidentally get off the screen, it lets go of the slingshot, which I feel like is probably the same thing with Angry Birds.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anything where your contact is necessary. And
that's a little obnoxious.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's just probably a thing that we will eventually learn not to do with iPhone games.
If it goes off the screen, to just hold it there, you think? Or that we will, as players, learn not to do.
We will. No, people who make the games will learn not to do stuff like that.
Okay.
The other thing, what else? What else was I playing? I got this game because it looked really nice, and then the gameplay was not particularly fun. It was that one where that dude sneezes on shit.
Is that a real thing? Am I just making that up?
Yeah, no, it's... What is it? I showed it to you, didn't I?
And I'd seen a review of it that liked it, but I don't remember what it was called. It was... I mean, it's cute. It's like a little pig or something that is ill, and he's fighting trolls by sneezing at them or something.
And trying to lure them into pits and stuff. I mean, it's a very... It's not... It kind of reminds me of Helsing's Fire. It's not really at all like Helsing's Fire, but it's...
Okay. Is it procedurally generated or anything?
No, it's not. Okay. It's really nothing like Helsing's Fire.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get your hopes up about that. Also, I can't find it on my phone, and I don't remember what it's called, so pretend that I did not have this conversation with you. new games. Oh, it is called Gesundheit.
Oh.
It visually, it's really cool, though. Like, it is, again, it is a game with a really strong sense of art direction, and that makes a tremendous amount of difference in its presentation. Like, everything looks like it belongs there, which is just a huge thing that I think people overlook. On the strength of the recommendation of the Weekend Confirmed guys, I downloaded Groove Coaster, which is a rhythm game. So it is by the people, it's like Taito, right, who made Space Invaders Infinity Gene. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like it's using that engine, but it's like an Elite Beat Agents kind of game.
Yeah.
There's like a techno song playing, and then you're scrolling along a line that is winding through like sort of abstract, flashy, like music visualization space. And things pop up on the line at the moments when you're supposed to tap the screen. And then in harder modes, things will swoop in from outside and you have to hit the screen when they intersect the line, right? Like, they don't start there, they fly in. And then it'll start to be like, okay, so you tap, 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 and then swoop left when it hits this one, and then swoop right when it hits this one, and like hold it down while this thing is going along. And it's, you know, you unlock new avatars. It's very, very similar to Space Invaders Infinity Gene, which I liked a lot.
Aesthetically, you mean?
Oh, yeah, but also just in terms of, like, the way the interface works and the way that you unlock things by, like, leveling up by earning points. You know, it's I didn't spend a whole lot of time with it. I mean, I played 5 or 6 levels on 2 songs, like, just various difficulty levels. And it was fun enough that I kept it, and I will play it some more. The last thing is, this is super great. The guys who made Game Dev Story... have made a version of Tiny Tower with an actual fucking game on it, which is like Mega Mall Story. So it was weird. I did not care at all. Like, I was like, Hot Springs Story, huh? Fuck that. I don't want to run a Hot Springs. Yeah. What is that bullshit?
Japanese grade school story.
And that school one, yeah, I don't care about that either, but a mall?
I started the tutorial on the school one and just got instantly baffled.
If they had Cool Farm Story, I would totally play Cool Farm Story. If they had Skeleton Dungeon Story.
Appealing?
I don't know. Like, because you can get a fucking level 2 bakery, and then you can spend some resources to add baguettes. Like, so great.
And chapeau du merde.
So you put stores in, you sort of, like, build the building, right? Like, you're like, oh, I want to add on some hallways here and put stairs here and stuff. And then you put in stores, which cost money, and you earn money.
Could you recreate that crazy mall in San Diego?
Probably not, actually, because you can't, everything has to be kind of sane.
Yeah.
It is actually built on some... It isn't like a non-Euclidean madman architect.
Weird, because I feel like that mall is the closest thing to a video game level I've ever encountered.
It's like a fucking Zelda dungeon. There's just different levels, all these like half or 1.5 or 3/4 height staircases threading between them.
There's a map hidden somewhere. There's a key.
A compass, yeah.
Yeah, and a compass. Yeah. Super strange.
Anyway, so you put stores in. There's 2 things that you can build. You can build stores, and then you can build like services, I think it calls them. And so you earn money when people come into your little pixel guys come into your mall and buy things at the stores. And by upgrading the stores, and you know the stores level up when people come into them. So it's like, sweet, now I got a level 3 Chinese buffet.
Is your mall up in 24 hours?
No, it goes through a day night cycle. And you have to make sure that the stores have enough stuff that
same
they don't
as your day-night
run
cycle?
Out of things. No, it's a very fast day-night cycle. Apparently, there's only like 12 days a year. There's a day-night cycle that lasts 1 month of game time. So you collect money when people buy stuff in your mall, and you collect hearts when they poop. You build
There's people are shitting out their hearts.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how they manage to come back. Like they just like keep getting new surgeries. We accidentally replaced your heart with a turd again. Come back tomorrow. So you put in bathrooms, and whenever somebody uses the bathroom, you get a heart. And also you can put in a bank of payphones. So I guess when they like poop in the coin slot, you get a heart, and then like a potted plant, which kind of explains itself.
Poop in the potted
plant. And then the hearts you use to add baguettes, you convert poop into bread. and then they convert it back for you. It's a closed ecosystem, except for the money. I don't know where the money comes from. But you use the hearts to unlock new store types and stuff. Like, it's just, it is like a game dev story kind of thing, where it's just like a super complicated resource management.
It's a lemonade stand writ large.
Yeah, but then you are going for some goal that they don't tell you how it works. You're trying to become Mall of the Year, and you have 15 years to become Mall of the Year. And, yeah.
So, Mall of the 15 years.
Well, you, no, every year they do a Mall of the Year, right?
Oh, okay. And you have 15 years in which to win one of them.
Yeah, to impress the lady who lives at the mall, the next door mall. But you can also, like, pay developers to build, like, houses near the mall, which unlock, like, it says they unlock, like, you build this bungalow and you get a waiter. Okay, so then, but then I never found a way to get a waiter. And it's like, you'll see this later. Like, okay. There's a park. You can build a thing in a park. I don't know what that does. The first, I built my mall, and then it was like, you're number 867th worldwide. And then I made the mall like four times as big. And then the next year, you're number 822 world. I'm like, fuck. So, yeah. I mean,
is the size of the mall important, or is it the level of your stores?
It's the way you stock it. I don't know. It encourages you to do the bullshit that they do in real malls, though. Like, if you put, like, a high-demand store, you have to make people walk past as many stores as possible to traverse the mall because they have, like, a chance of buying stuff from every store they notice.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so it's like, it's neat. I mean, you keep building onto it, and there's an advantage to having things on higher floors. And I guess as you upgrade, you can also start building out to the sides more and stuff.
Can you start building your mall around people's houses?
They're in a different part of the interface. Like, there's not actually houses near. You go to invest, and then you, like, see a screen with your mall on it from zoomed out, and it's really just a picture of a mall. It's not even your mall.
I see.
And you can go over to the residential area, and then you can go over to the business area, and then you can go to the park, which, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe you can put different things in the park for people to poop into.
So there's a game mall story.
There's Game Mall story?
I don't know. Darth Mall story. Bear Mall.
I always thought that a mall was an axe, but I think a mall is just a hammer.
M-A-U-L.
Yeah, M-A-U-L.
Yeah.
It is a hammer. It's a big hammer with a really long handle.
It might be a regional thing.
Yeah, I mean, are we sure that's not just one of those things that Blizzard made up?
No. No. From when I was a kid, okay. there was an axe, which you never used for anything because you don't ever need an axe for anything unless you're like a fireman. And then there was a maul that was for splitting wood, which was like a sledgehammer that was sharp on one side.
Okay.
But it turns out a maul is just a sledgehammer. And I don't know what this thing was. Hmm. A chopping wedge. A wedge maul.
But it was like a giant axe or something, right?
But it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, an axe is lightweight for fast swinging, so you can chop down a tree with it, right? Like, it's designed to chip away at something instead of, like, splitting it with a significant amount of force.
A maul is a long-handled hammer used to drive stakes or wedges.
Right.
So this is verb, just... the verb maul is to split wood with a maul and wedges.
Yeah. But this was, so, like, a maul that was also
there was
a wedge.
Also the wedge.
Yeah, which was just referred to as a maul. I don't know. Anyway, that's maul dev story. I also played a ton of Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, you played the new DLC?
I did. I'm like halfway through the new DLC, but I had to finish the last piece of DLC.
Which is your character was locked in a place?
Yes, which sucked. Because that DLC was fucking boring. The Honest Hearts was boring, and I did not like it at all. I stopped playing it because it was just crashing all the time, but then some patch that they issued for this new DLC fixed whatever problem I was having. Mm. But I got, you know, I had walked away from it for 3 or 4 weeks, and I came back and I was like, I did something that I never do, which was to fucking leave this thing behind without going and exploring everything and without going and looking for the other quests, because I hated the area so much and I just did not give a shit about the people in it. Hmm. Like, it was all like Mormons versus Indians or whatever. And it was like,
Mormons versus firemen.
I hate all of these people. I hate all of these things in video games as much as I hate them in real life.
What about the Cowboys versus Mormons?
Yeah. I saw Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh yeah.
It was okay. Good? It was okay. It was what it said on the tin.
I heard Harrison Ford is really good in it.
Harrison Ford's pretty good in it. So anyway, the new DLC is fucking great. It is so fun. It is both like really like cleverly done, and it's definitely the Mothership Zeta of New Vegas. It's very silly, but it's like got a very well constrained but very large and detailed environment to go into. Everything that you see, every building, you can go inside, and there's some interesting shit in there.
Nice.
Right? It doesn't have any of this stuff. The previous DLC was super difficult to navigate for me because it took place in like Zion, and in like a kind of a compartmentalized a microcosm of like Arches National Park or whatever. And so it was this big canyon with water in the bottom of it. But there were just a tremendous number of things where like there's a point on the map that you can only get to by going all the way the fuck around to this other place. But the detail on the map in game is not good enough to let you know how to get there.
So you would just try to walk towards it and it would be frustrating.
You walk towards it and
time.
You just get to a cliff and then you walk in one direction to figure out how to get up the cliff.
Playing
and,
New Vegas in general.
Like yeah.
Trying to get to where the cons or where Red Rock Valley or whatever it was where they were hiding. That took me forever to find the entrance.
Yeah, and that's why I still haven't actually finished that either, right? Like, I have not gone through and did the thing that I want to do, which is to explore every location and see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Between the difficulty in navigating and the fact that so many buildings were just wallpaper, like you go out, and, oh, there's a bunch of buildings by that lake. I'm going to go explore those and scavenge and see what's in there, and you go and there's no fucking door. Yeah.
Nope, those aren't buildings. They're just big cubes.
Yeah. There's doors painted on them though, if you want to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Which I mean, to me, that just strikes of the game came out before it was finished.
Yeah.
Right. Or I mean, is it better to have a building that you can't go in or a building that you can go in and there's nothing interesting in there? How long does it take to write a fucking diary entry in a computer that you can hack for 5 experience? That tells a funny story about the box of Abraxo.
It's not the question
the
of
shelf.
How long it is necessarily, but do you have people that are good at writing that kind of stuff?
But I think they do have people that are good at writing
that aren't
that kind
busy
of stuff.
Doing other stuff.
Right? Yeah, I guess. It always makes
that
me
just
sad
means
when
they needed
like
more time so that those people could write that stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
But the Old World Blues is fucking cool so far. And like I said, it's really goofy. So far, a lot of what I've done is you get this like sort of apartment with all of these things in it that had AIs installed in them, but you have to go out into the world and find the recordings of the AIs. So it's like you go and find there's like 2 light switches, and one of them thinks the other one is a slut. Like they're just all of these objects have personalities inside them, and they're all like just goofy. I mean, they're like the cores in Portal 2 or whatever, but like there's the toaster, like that just does vary, and they all have various things that they do. Like they're like services that they provide. It is very much like Mothership Zeta in that you're just building like a super house, kind of. That once you finish this, you can travel freely between them. Apparently,
oh nice,
yeah. And so you just like with Mothership Zeta, where you get everything set up there, and then you've just got all this crazy shit that you can do. Like your healing is free now, and it's stuff that I don't actually mess with because it kind of ruins it, you know. But I like collecting all of the stuff.
Yeah. So you're saying that your character in other DLC will be able to do this, or? I'm confused.
It's just a place you can go. After you play this DLC and build this like amazing house that has all of these things in it that out in the world at large were sort of hard to get, you know, and weren't ever there in one place and weren't easily accessible, now
DLC
you just have access to it.
Before playing the rest of the game, you'd have a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you could.
I guess that's what I was concerned about.
I wonder how many people would do that, though. Like, I wonder what percentage of people who buy this game and buy the DLC play the DLC before they play the
probably very
the rest
few,
of the game
but I mean, that, I'm just saying.
When you buy like a Game of the Year edition, and this DLC is targeted for level 15, right? So if you get to level 15 and you find the drive-in where this event starts, then maybe that's what you do.
Yeah.
Huh. Does the DLC just happen in the rest of the world?
It does. Yep. It's really kind of neat the way that they make these happen. Like
Would you not even necessarily know you're doing DLC?
You wouldn't. No, you like you go
not necessarily. Yeah.
It like in Fallout 3, it was very much designed for people who'd already played through the game though, because otherwise, like you finish the tutorial and let's say you've installed all the DLC, you finish the tutorial and the moment that you walk outside, you get a quest for each of the pieces of DLC by finding like a radio signal, right on your Pip-Boy. Your Pip-Boy picks up a radio signal, that's how they all work. Right, they're all just like, oh, you found this thing, and then it gives you a quest and puts a map marker at the point where the DLC starts. And then they, by and large, just teleport you somewhere else with a limited amount of stuff, and sometimes they let you come back with all of it, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they let you travel freely between them, and sometimes they don't. like once you're done. This one, it explains right away. It says you have a strange intuition that you're not going to be able to come back until you solve the mysteries. But then after that, you'll be able to travel freely back and forth between these two places. You know, it's like, okay. But it's cool. There's really good voice acting, and the characters are extremely silly, but just neat. It's very just like 50s creature feature kind of stuff. There are these suits, and there is a ton. The one thing that I did like a lot about the Zion DLC was that there were these caves that were all these like bases that this guy had set up hundreds of years prior, and you read, like, you reconstruct his diary, the sort of like story of him, like after the war, making his way, and you know, the people that he met and the stuff that he did. I love shit like that.
Yeah.
It's that whole, like, I think that setting and backstory is a lot more important than the narrative arc of the actual game.
What was it in Fallout 3? It was like the Lovecraft Corporate building.
Oh, the Dunwich building.
Over on the edge of the map.
So great. Even though it didn't go anywhere. Good. It did not go anywhere at all. They ended up using it in some of the Point Lookout DLC. There was a quest where if you got like a book, and you had a quest from the Brotherhood or something to destroy the book, and the only way that you could destroy it was by taking it to that altar in the basement of the Dunwich building. But I don't know if they had that planned to begin with.
Maybe. It always struck me as odd that you didn't seem to be able to do anything with that monolith that was in the bottom of that building.
Hmm. And again, you know, it might have been something that they put in there and then didn't get around to finishing the thing for, right? I mean, the process of making one of these things has got to be just absurd.
Super, super long,
Man, wouldn't it would be pretty great if they did a Lovecraft game in, like, the Fallout 3 engine.
Did you ever play Call of Cthulhu, The Dark Corners of the Earth?
Uh-uh.
You would probably like it, but then you would probably hate it because it is... There is a section about an hour in that is so fucking hard that I've never been able to beat it, even on...
I might have heard about it. Is it the one where mode. The deep ones are, like, chasing you through a hotel or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've heard about it.
Did you ever play the original Alone in the Dark?
I did not.
That was like my first sort of horror, sort of walking through a space game, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I mean, the graphics were terrible looking back on it, but it was just like the atmosphere, the sound was really good.
You've talked about that a lot. Like you played that and read some Danielle Steele novel.
I read it. I played that late into the night and was kind of freaked out. I had just read Whitley Strieber's Communion, and then I played Star Control 2 and
Met the Aralu,
like all in one crazy long game evening, and it was like super dark outside and the moon was out, and it was just like super creepy.
I had a similar experience playing Silent Hill 3 in my college dorm over winter break when I was the only person in the building, and I wanted to go down the lobby to get a drink, and I go out in the hall and the fluorescent lights are flickering, and I go to like the stairwell door and it clicks, but it's busted so it doesn't open, just like all the doors in Silent Hill are. It was the freakiest thing ever.
And then you got murdered by some nurse.
Yeah. No, I just hid under my bed and turned all the lights on and put in a Powerpuff Girls DVD so that I could sleep, like, someday.
So, yeah, those are the things that I played that I'm allowed to talk about.
Nice.
But I basically did nothing but play video games. I should have done some work or maybe exercised for this fucking trip around a mountain. But I got to catch up. I got to play video games while I can because we're heading out into the fucking wilderness for 11 days.
So we're going to be recording a show next week, and then we're done for
one week. You guys are going to have to do without this
just one week
opening segments for one entire week. Is it?
Yeah,
I guess it will only be one missing show because we're sort of Wednesday to Wednesday.
Yeah,
so that's what we've been playing.
Cool,
sweet, what we've been playing, bros. Hey guys, what's up with the world?
I don't know what
we have no idea what's going on with this escapist kerfluffle. Also, when I typed kerfluffle into Google, it asked if I meant kerfuffle, and I was like, I don't know whether or not I mean kerfuffle.
I think maybe you do mean kerfuffle
instead of kerfluffle. Okay,
what's up with those riots in London?
I don't know.
My dad's in England right now.
Our buddy on the scene says
they're Oxford, so.
Massively overreported.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean by massively overreported?
That it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, there's been tons and tons
of property damage.
Or maybe
the fact that it's teenagers, the teenagers are massively overreported and it's mostly adults. Okay, I think actually what's happening is that people made of fire are just trying to buy some furniture.
that is problematic.
They're really misunderstood. I mean, you need something to sit on, right? They come in. Do you have an asbestos bar stool?
I don't think so.
Cool. See, we were role-playing there, and you were the furniture store owner. Right. Also, this building is 200 years old, and you just set it on fire.
I think it's awesome that you made up what you thought was a joke called asbestos ore.
Oh, yeah. And I did not realize that asbestos is actually mined, and so is chrome. I was trying to come up with three substances that you could not mine and put ore in the game for them, and I came up with linoleum, asbestos, and chrome.
And then later I came up with, like, fake-ass reasons why there might be deposits of these things under the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was this bullshit with Walmart and the, like, breaking the street date on the price drop for the 3DS.
If you're listening to this Thursday night, immediately go to Walmart. And I don't remember if you have to log into the eShop before Friday or before the end of Friday to qualify.
I mean, I would not recommend that anybody do that because it's some bullshit. It's just like Nintendo saying, hey, here's this thing. We're in a, you know, desperate bid to take care of business. We're doing this. And then Walmart's like, hey, by the way, here's a way that you could fuck them. Here's a way that you can, like, get the supporter bonus for not being a supporter.
Well, I mean, I fault Walmart for providing that, but I don't fault any given person for taking advantage of it.
Does Walmart even know that Nintendo is doing this additional thing?
I don't know.
I think Target has started as well.
From what I heard, they were places where, like, preparing and having, like, sort of special policies in place so that people wouldn't buy it, log into the eShop, return it.
Yeah.
And then buy it again when it was cheaper.
Oh.
Right? And so, like, maybe in an effort to stop people from doing that, Walmart was just like, fuck it.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Amazon's response to the situation was to remove the 3DSs were no longer available for sale. They've been available for pre-order.
At the cheap price.
Yeah.
Interesting. Curious ways in which, all these different competing things, because everybody wants to get in on it. So, you know, Walmart dropping the price early, they're hoping to, like, cash out on getting as many sales as they can.
Yeah.
Did you scroll Lego?
Yes.
Instead of Escapist?
Huh. Yes. Because you said Lego.
I did. I thought, though,
said Lego, that
was just a scribble.
No, that's logo. The word Lego. Written from across the table.
It looks like it was written by a logo program.
Yeah. Turtle.
Written by a retarded kid.
Retarded turtle. Retardle.
I mean, it gets hard to make letters with logo.
Sure.
The L's pretty legible.
Yeah, it's not hard to make letters with logo. You can lift the pen. There's a command to lift the pen.
Sure.
Have you seen
that?
That printer they made that lets you write with a marker on an egg?
No.
Yeah, you, like, clamp an egg into a lathe, and it's like a, you know, like one of those CNC machines, except it's...
Like a music factory?
Yeah. And it writes your music on your egg for you.
Mm.
That's kind of cool.
How do you make the source image? Do you have to do, like, a projection?
I don't remember.
Because I don't know how to... I would not know how to go about making a GIF to be printed on an egg.
Yeah, how do you define a circular GIF?
Especially, like, a weird... Because, I mean, eggs are all different shapes.
Yeah.
They're egg-shaped, generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like pears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perseids?
Perseids?
No, I know how to say Perseids.
Okay.
What's is that like a thing? I thought something was
meteor
happening.
Shower.
I thought that there was something happening that was making it so you couldn't see them.
Well, the full moon.
Okay.
Oh.
So that's what the best. It's not the best. It's not the height of the meteor shower, but
isn't that the one that happens once a year?
Yes, the Perseids and the Leonids are meteor showers that happen once
already?
A year.
Wow.
Well, yes. it is in the but same.
It seems like it hasn't been as long since.
It's in the same space, in around the sun, and we traverse through it.
Okay.
That's why it's at the same
both
space.
Both of them are, right? How far are they offset by? I think you're thinking it hasn't been long since the Leonids.
Yeah.
That might be it.
But, I mean, I think the Leonids is in the winter, and the Perseids is in the fall.
What do you think would be a better name for a band, the Leonids or the Perseids?
Depends on what kind of music they play.
Percy sounds kind of like a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leon sounds awesome.
That's like the lion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you wanted like emo rock,
I'd that would Perseid. Still be the Leonids because of Leon in Final Fantasy VIII.
That's a bit of a stretch.
The Kings of Leon.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Their sex is
So yeah, anyway, if you want to see those, the recommended time is before dawn on Saturday.
Okay.
And then apparently I read...
When's dawn watching them?
I don't know.
When's dawn launching on?
When is dawn watching them? You're supposed to watch them before her.
Oh, I see.
And then I read today about some crazy solar flare activity. There was some sort of X event, which I couldn't find out what that meant, but some sort of like massive solar flare.
Where people get is that like powers from it?
Isn't there like supposed to be an 11-year cycle on solar flares? Yeah,
it's supposed to peak near 2013, which I thought maybe it peaks at the end of 2012, and that's what causes the end of the
Does that correspond to like the cicada invasions?
I don't know. The cicada invasions,
we don't get that here, do we?
It would in the U.S. there's some.
Not in Arizona.
Okay,
it's like the South mostly.
I remember when we had the really big one in the Pittsburgh area back when I was a kid, and it was horrifying.
There's like a 7-year and an 11-year, I think, and they're offset some. But when they coincide, it's really bad. Yeah.
I remember climbing up on this like sort of little mountain up north in the mountains in Arizona that there was a hiking trail on, and when I got to the top of it, it was like covered with ladybugs. There was just a carpet of ladybugs on every shaded surface.
Did you see the creepy orange gel stuff?
They said it was eggs.
Yeah.
They said it
was
eggs. Yeah, that thing. I heard about that.
They didn't say what the eggs were.
They didn't know. They did not know what kind of fish they were.
They dried into some
deep
sort of
ones.
When it dried, it became like an aerosol powder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. So
yeah, super creepy.
Space
weird.
Death plague.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is how that would look.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm. Wow.
So there may not even be another show.
That's true.
We might all just be walking corpses. I think my favorite thing in the new Fallout DLC, there are these suits that were designed for soldiers. So that they, like, if their leg was broken, the suit would take over for that leg and, like, allow them to run back to the... Or if both of their legs were broken, it would, like, run back to base for them. But then they... There are all these emails back and forth between the scientists about the sensors for how wounded the people are being. So then what you're doing is just fighting a bunch of these suits with skeletons inside them. So it finally gave me the ability to kill skeletons in Fallout.
Nice.
So that made me pretty happy. They didn't have any sweet swords, though. I think they mostly had guns.
What about guns that shoot swords?
I saw a story that made me sad. This is extremely minor. This is about a software update to LEGO Universe. Where in the most recent patch to LEGO Universe, or in the forthcoming patch to LEGO Universe, they have added an experience point and leveling system that was not there. And that frustrates me because I have to imagine that if you designed an entire fucking MMO without an experience point and leveling system, that there is no fucking way that it is designed to have an experience point and leveling system.
You know, when I was playing it, the lack of an experience point and leveling system was not the problem that game had.
Yep, yep. We only played it during the beta, right? So who knows how much it improved. So it was very much like playing, it was like playing a LEGO Star Wars game, except everything was like underwater and sort of happening on its own.
Yeah,
and there wasn't like a real clear correspondence between you hitting a button and your dude doing a thing on the screen.
Yep. Wow. There's limited inventory and no bank. And a lot of your quest rewards were like unique shirts. So if you wanted to keep them, you had nowhere to put them except in your limited inventory space. Yeah.
There was the building stuff was buggy when I played it, and so I just couldn't. It was like, all right, you can put down a piece, and then you can put down a piece offset by half a fucking nub.
Yeah, it was extremely awkward too, because it wasn't. You couldn't just drag a piece into place. Your little dude was suddenly holding the piece, and you had to walk him to where you wanted the piece put and put it down. It
sounds
terrible.
It sounds like they didn't even get the engine working before they started building the game.
I mean, it seems like the from what I heard, the initial studio that was working on that sort of abandoned the product in disgust.
Huh.
right? They were just like, this is not going to be any good. We quit. Right. I mean, isn't that the impression that you got from what your buddy told you?
Well, but he quit the studio.
No, he quit yeah, because he quit. The product was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the studio.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You know, we got a beta key for our buddy, and who said his kids loved it.
Sure.
I mean, because kids are dumb and they don't know when games are bad, right? So yeah. It's kind of like the grown-up's responsibility to not let you play shitty games. It had a lot of potential. Like, if all of the things that they tried to do had worked correctly and felt good, it would have been a really neat game, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like an MMO with real-time action-y combat, like, that's pretty cool. But I think the reason that they did that, the reason they were able to do that action-y combat is because it doesn't really matter if you kill the dude or not, right? Because it's not like...
You know... Like, how could they not have seen Minecraft and been like, this is what we should be making?
Well, this was before Minecraft.
Well, it was in development before Minecraft.
It was, but I mean, the problem with a Lego product is that it has to be really kid-friendly. And if it has to be really kid-friendly, you can't just let people build shit out in the world. Like, you just can't.
Wow.
They every time you built something, they wouldn't let anyone else see it until it was approved by a dude.
Sure.
Like, a dude who worked there had to look at this thing, make sure it wasn't a dick. Mm-hmm. So I thought that the
and
fun
they
thing
weren't even
be,
out in the world. Somebody had to
that you had the, to like invite them to, into yeah, your little yeah,
teleport
your little
them
dimension
to your
gallery
little,
or whatever,
your
which
space.
Is fine. I mean, yeah. What was the game where it pulled stuff out of other people's worlds and put
Spore.
It in Spore? Yeah.
And the fuck you worm.
Just fuck. Just
the
said fuck.
Fuck, yeah. Fuck worm.
The best worm.
I don't understand how somebody made that with the engine.
Yeah.
Right? Like
for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it was a worm with the word fuck growing out of its back.
Yeah. Which I didn't play a bunch of the game, but like it did not seem like that would have been something that you could have built with the in-game tools.
I think Darkspore had some potential. I mean, Spore was just awful, right? It was overhyped, and then it just wasn't any good.
It's five really incomplete games mashed together.
Yeah,
it was one complete but extremely short game that should have been developed into an entire game. I mean, the unicellular stuff was great.
Sure, but there were like four other.
Sure.
Games.
Yeah. Four, so it was one I mean, complete was, game that it, was like a dollar iPhone game caliber thing, and then four incomplete games.
Yeah, it was a really, I mean, the engine looked really nice, and the animal building tools were great, but they just didn't have enough game to go with it.
You ready for some more cutting edge commentary on video games with Daikatana, am I right?
What?
What? Daikatana. John Romero certainly didn't make us his bitch the way he promised.
Oh, okay. I see.
Right, because we're talking about Spore. We're criticizing Spore.
Right. Right. Gotcha.
State of the art.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes me sad when a game that tries to not have experience points and levels
capitulates,
fails.
Yeah.
You know, with our game, even though the experience, there were no real experience points. I mean, it was just like, I started it with just stats that got bigger, and people were like, I want to know what level I am. And I was like, that doesn't mean anything. And they said, I want a level. I want to level up. I want to know what level I am, and I want to be able to tell when I gain a level. And I'm like, it doesn't mean anything. I could just make up a number and put it in there and say it's your level.
Yep.
Is that okay?
So you did
yes.
That.
Yes, this is what we want. This is what we want, and now we're happy. Oh, God. You know, it makes me fear for the sort of like overall accessibility of our next MMO.
Second project,
you know? I mean,
I think we can
pull it off, but it's, I think by not having experience points and levels, you are relegating yourself to a niche. But I mean, we're already relegating ourselves to a niche, so we are
fine.
Yeah. We're comfortable in niches. It'd be nice to occupy multiple niches at once, right? Like if we could be inside the fingers
you're
of a glove,
you're not a
as
real
opposed
man.
To just in a rolled out condom, which is, I feel, the space that we occupy now, very condom-like. I'm up in the reservoir tip, steering.
Sure.
Any other news? Anything else?
I can't think of anything.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. Slow news week.
Yep.
Slow time.
In the world,
US
in general.
World Report.
Yep.
So, last week's assignment was Eye of the Goddamn Beholder.
Woo.
It's not actually called Eye of the Goddamn Beholder. So, part of the reason that I wanted to do this game as the assignment is so we could compare and contrast it to a better game.
And so
I wasn't sure what that game was going to be, but I feel like Eye of the Beholder was one of the first. I mean, it wasn't even really one of the first. Maybe it was one of the first. Like, it was very much SSI's answer to Dungeon Master.
Okay.
Which Dungeon Master was only good on, like, the Amiga, is my understanding, like, back then. Like, there's eventually, like, you know, like a Super Nintendo port of it or whatever.
There's a Super Nintendo port of this, too, I think.
Yeah. That surprises me a little bit.
I mean, the control scheme seems within the realm of the
Super
Nintendo, right? Like,
but I can't imagine playing this without the mouse.
I mean, even with the mouse, it was kind of painful. So I got got to imagine that you could come up with an equally unpleasant way to play it on a Nintendo controller.
So I have to admit that I totally just gave up on this game after like an hour. I got down to the second level and was so frustrated by those what I thought were like teleport glyphs, but were actually just walls that you could pass through. Yeah. Apparently,
yeah.
And apparently, the reason that we were confused, I was confused, is because also one of them just randomly rotates you.
No, well, that wasn't one of them. It was just a floor tile.
Yeah.
Does it make a sound or anything?
Nope.
You just have to notice that your compass changed.
So, well, I noticed that I kept walking in the same direction and ending up where I started, and I was like, this something is wrong here.
I assumed that it was a teleport tile and not just a rotation tile. Yeah. That confused me for a long time.
Even looking at maps, I was constantly lost. Yeah. Like, I had on my second monitor multiple versions of maps that I found on the internet for these levels. Reading through one of these walkthroughs, there was some cool Easter egg stuff.
Yeah.
There's like a secret puzzle on each level.
On every level, yeah.
Which is
neat. I was really surprised and pleasantly. There's the one grate that you can't force open with like a wall and a button behind it, and like I suddenly realized, oh wait, my daggers when I throw them are physical objects, and just threw a knife at it and it worked, and I thought that was really awesome.
I thought it was pretty clever by putting rocks
on the pressure plates.
And like
yeah.
that was just a feature of the world that like you kind of figure out by picking
and then there's,
up rocks.
There's one that you can't put it on the pressure plate. You have to throw it over the pit and bounce it off the wall.
Yeah, that little puzzle for like that room with the pits in it where you had to do a different thing to get every pit to close was like, oh, that's cool. This game kind of taught me how to do some stuff. But then it's like, too late. I'm lost all the time.
Identical corridors and everything looks the same. I was mapping and it was just too much.
So like Might and Magic 4 is one of my favorite games of all time, and it is very much a game in this style. It's better in a lot of ways. There were a lot, like, and it has auto mapping, but also
I worked out that the one of them that I played was Might and Magic 1.
Oh yeah, that one did not have auto mapping.
No, it did not. It did come with a custom pad of graph paper.
Yeah, it sure did.
Specially sized for like every sector of the game.
I had a folder with a sweet dragon on it that me and my dad kept our maps in. I think I probably still have that folder with all the maps that
that's
we made
really cool.
for Might and Magic 1. It was kind of bad though.
That story is cool.
It had an interesting plot, though. It combined like sci-fi and fantasy and had some neat stuff in it.
Every RPG, every computer game combines sci-fi and fantasy. You know, it's just like Ultima got all spaceshipy at the end, right? And
which
Ultima? All of them.
Ultima 2 had.
All of the Ultimas had spaceships and shit in them.
Yeah.
Ultima 4 didn't.
I think it did.
The villain in Ultima 3 was a computer.
A laser.
I don't think Ultima 4
It was
4
a laser
did.
Computer.
You started out in the real world and you like went to Ultima and then you did your thing and then you came back.
And it was a spaceship.
I don't remember.
The real world was actually the Matrix.
Okay.
There was a spaceship in there somewhere. So this game, like I fucking love the way that it looks. Like you show me a dagger that's made out of like 30 pixels in 256 colors where I can see each of the pixels and I'm just like, fuck yeah, video game. Okay. That dagger is exactly what I want. I want that thing.
When I was booting this up, I had to go look on Wikipedia and find out if I wanted CGA, EGA, or VGA because I couldn't remember what that meant.
Really?
Yeah.
VGA, video games. Awesome. That's what it stood for.
Did you know? So you never had a PC?
Nope.
Okay.
I had a Commodore VIC 20 and then the very original Macintosh.
Okay.
And then
so you've been a Mac head the entire time?
Yep.
I had the benefit. Like, this is harkening back to my days when I still had a PC. So That was not a question I had to look
did
up.
Did you have to look up whether or not you wanted to use a mouse? Did you have a hard time right-clicking on things, figuring out that you were supposed to right-click on things? This, I think, is an example of a game that is not very good.
I'm sure I would have loved it at the time.
Yeah, when you had the patience to do. I think as a kid, I would have just gotten so frustrated with being lost all the time that I would have stopped at basically the same spot.
It was interesting to me because it was like having an action bar for a single player, for WoW, basically, but just spread out over multiple characters.
The cooldowns on the attacks
and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this is very much like the genesis of that kind of way of thinking about stuff.
It is weird that it had that like sort of auto memorize spells, cast spells to heal everybody thing. Like you could do that, but you couldn't do like the just really straightforward things that it didn't handle for you, you know? Like, and
it was very D&D. I mean, like the ability to roll your stats, but then it just let you set them to whatever you wanted.
Yeah, that was. I mean, because you could theoretically just sit there hitting re-roll until you got all 18s. So we'll just let you skip to that point. So for next week's assignment, I want to do Eye of the Beholder 2, because I think that it'll be interesting to see like the sort of direct descendant of this, and then for some following one, I'm going to do either Might and Magic 3 or Might and Magic 4, because those are just great games in my memory. And I've played them within the last 10 years. Like, I've played through them several times. And they are the same. I've been thinking a lot about why I like the graphics from this era so much. And I think...
You love pixels.
I do love pixels. I like it when they are square and not aliased. Mm-hmm. The renderer that I use on DOSBox is the largest one that doesn't interpolate anything all the time, because I fucking hate that interpolation. I hate the interpolation where it curves stuff. Mm. It just makes everything look like a weird like collection of bubbles. So in thinking about like what the fuck is that guy's name who wrote Understanding Comics?
Scott McCloud.
So anybody who hasn't, even if you don't like comic books, you should get Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud, because it is just this really kind of fascinating treatise on representation.
Yeah, visual theory in general.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, at least, the 16-bit era, like fat pixels, 256 colors, hits a sweet spot where you're not trying, you would not bother to try to actually take a photograph of a person and put them in a game. It forces you to make a stylized representation of everything that you're showing, but it gives you enough freedom to make a good stylized representation of what you're showing, right? It's not like some shitty texture on a thing in a primitive 3D game, and it's not like an NES era thing where you're limited in the number of colors you can put on a single sprite or whatever.
Enough information that you can show something with some detail, but enough lack of information that you've got plenty of room for your imagination to fill in the gaps.
I don't even know if your imagination is filling in the gaps, right? Like, I think
it's weird
that
you say that, because I feel like the same way about World of Warcraft. Like, it gets a ton of criticism for like not having really nice graphics or whatever. But it's like,
I maintain that criticism is leveled exclusively by people who just have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
People who would buy a game solely on the strength of like the polygon count of the models.
Yeah,
like. You shouldn't listen to what those people say about video games.
I feel like imagination does play a part though. I mean, when I think of that Super Brothers sorcery, when I think about that main character, I've got the image in my head of her is far more detailed than what was actually shown on
that
screen.
Is the main character female?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you have to find it out later or?
No.
Wow, I did not know that the main character of that was female.
I think it talks about it in the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's weird. It never occurred to me to imagine what that character was like. That character's those pixels and looks awesome. I mean, to me, that game does a very good job of like capturing that aesthetic. And I think that's just, you know, said that's why I like it, is because it hits that point exactly between a too primitive a representation and a thing that's trying and failing to be realistic.
Like the uncanny valley.
Once games started being made in double that resolution, like Civ 2, I cannot play because it looks like ass. Huh. Like, it is so ugly and so hard for me to tell what anything is, and the foreground stuff does not pop from the background at all, and it's like, it drives me nuts. Same.
If you go back to CGA games,
Diablo is like that. Yeah. Also, but Diablo is a good enough game that is worth getting past graphics that I hated.
Huh. Like, what about like the really early like CGA games? Just when you only had four colors.
I kind of
and they were kind of ass colors.
I kind of was. Yeah, there was cyan. Yeah, like the idea that you would pick cyan, yellow, and magenta as your colors, and if you couldn't mix them,
yeah,
like who thought that that was a good idea? Like,
I don't know.
I think was it. No, I guess it. I don't know what.
Because theoretically, you could dither them to make any color if you were standing 40 feet away from your fucking monitor.
Except those are printing colors and not.
Oh, they don't actually combine.
But it's additive versus subtractive kind of issue. Right?
You can get them though from the out of the RGB that the TV tube you were using as a monitor uses. To get its, because green and blue is cyan and so forth.
Sure, but why not?
So I wonder if it didn't come out of there. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, CGA was terrible. I mean, 16 color, you could do some okay stuff with 16.
There were definitely some cool art in 16.
I talk smack on the NES, but like the stuff, the items in Zelda, really well drawn.
Yeah.
Really nice representations of things. They could be better, right? I mean, you could make a raft on a Super Nintendo is going to look better than that raft, but they just did a good job working with the tools that they had.
Yeah.
In the original Legend of Zelda. So let's play Eye of the Beholder 2. Okay. For the next one, just look for the improvements there. I think it has an auto map, which is huge.
Yay.
We'll see if it doesn't.
It was weird that it was real-time combat.
Yeah, that surprised me. I got hit a few times before I figured out what was going on.
Real-time in sort of a weird, it's like tick-based. It's like a cooldown-based combat.
Any real-time combat is tick-based, right? If you're running it on a computer, there are individual cycles of things that are happening.
Sure, but you don't.
Ticks long enough that you notice them.
Yeah. Could you run up, swing at something with your sword, and then back up and not get hit?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't either.
Might and Magic games are definitely turn-based. Like, there's stuff, the monsters are out in the world. Like, not in the one that you played. Not in the first one and not in the second one. Hmm. Those are very much like you just trigger an encounter.
Right.
Starting with 3, the monsters are out in the world. And you can see them, like, standing there, dancing around. And when you move, they move. Or when you shoot at them, they move. Or when you cast a spell,
they move. That's what the monsters were like in the dungeons in the early Ultima games, too, I think, weren't they?
I don't know. I've never actually played any Ultima games. Other than I played about half an hour of that Martian Dreams one that you...
Ultima Otherworlds.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
No. But apparently there was a lot planned for that series, and it just didn't go anywhere.
That's too bad.
One of the things I learned from my Dungeons and Desktops book that I finished the other day, yesterday. Yeah. You know,
where did it end? What was the last game it talked about?
2008. So it was like, CRPGs are dead because of MMOs. He's saying this is what everybody's saying. It is bad. The last, like, 6 pages were insufferable. It was just like sort of analysis and opinion. Like, yeah.
Are there MMORPGs that are actual RPGs?
In what sense?
You get to choose your stats and stuff.
Oh, I mean, EverQuest, you got to put points in stats. But they don't do that anymore because
you can gimp yourself.
Yeah, you can gimp yourself so easily.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I mean,
the further they move away from that, the more popular it is, right? Like, it's...
Like, what an RPG where some people were strong and some people were smart.
Has there been one that...
Just bad at everything?
There been an MMO that did the skill-based system the way the Call of Cthulhu game, pen and paper game, did?
I don't know how that works.
Your skills were percentages, and every time you successfully used a skill... You got to roll again, and then if you failed, you
went up a point.
You went up a percentage point. So it got, since it, like the higher your skill got, the more difficult it got to fail, and therefore the more difficult it got to raise that skill higher.
But the lower your skill, the harder it was to succeed and actually get a chance to improve it.
Yeah. So I mean, I wonder what the curve on that looks like. I mean, I wonder if you made a graph of.
I'm imagining it would be very bell shaped.
Like a bell shape.
I wonder if that's actually pretty realistic too, because it's like the first couple of times you try something that you're not good at, it's hard, but you get better pretty quick, and then you sort of cruise along and sort of like learning.
It gets harder and harder.
You get plateaued.
Run out of things to learn.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the disadvantage of something like that in a pen and paper role playing game is that over the course of an hour, you maybe get to roll twice.
It depends on the game.
Yeah.
Depends on the pace, I guess. Yeah. It's a little dissatisfying, I think, that a really well designed system for a tabletop role playing game that's like, oh, this'll come out in the wash, like these random tendencies that we introduce by the design of these systems, and then they never get a chance to.
Hmm.
Right? You never get enough bulk of you know, repetitions to actually make it through a lot of that stuff.
The advantage that pen and paper game has is that any deficiency in the mechanics or rule set can be made up for by a savvy GM.
Right, who wants to make the game fun for you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the stuff that... I always really liked the games that Greg Costigan wrote, because he did, like, mm-hmm. Tune and the original D6 West End Star Wars game.
Paranoia.
And in the manual, it's like, look, don't kill the fucking players. This is supposed to be fun. Like, if they're losing...
Not in Paranoia.
but in the Star Wars game, it's like, let them win. They're heroes. This is a game about heroes triumphing against insurmountable odds. So, like, don't kill them all with fucking stormtroopers. Like, that's bullshit and not fun. Like, if there's any point where a die roll makes the game less fun, ignore it. Like, you know, it's like, cool. So anyway, Eye of the Beholder 2... And,
so that's also like Abandonware should run on DOSBox.
Yeah. You can get it in all the same places that you got Eye of the Beholder. And I hope it's better, and I'm sorry that I subjected everybody to this.
It was interesting. Like, yeah. I liked the brief sort of play with it. I'm kind of curious to just pick up a full spoiler and like,
it actually made me a little bit sad that I don't have the patience for that level of mapping anymore. Or rather, I guess I do, but because I made all those maps for that online Cthulhu Lovecraft game. Yeah. But
I wish that we could remember the name of that game.
I found it again a few days ago, and now I've forgotten what it was again.
All I can think of is Cthulhu Live, but I don't think that's something else.
That's live action Call of Cthulhu.
Arkham
Country? No. I'll find out and post it on the forum.
Lovecraft Country?
But yeah, I mean, I was perfectly willing to do ridiculous amounts of maps for that. I don't know if it was just because
the theming was better
and there was some story and I was working towards a definite quest and plot, and in this one it was just a featureless maze.
Yeah, I really was sad that there was so little differentiation of the walls.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like in later games there's a lot more going on. That makes and also
just a few landmarks would be nice.
Yeah, the nice thing about Might and Magic games in from 3 and 4 and 5 is that the areas that you're exploring are pretty small.
There's a really large
overworld, but it is divided into these 15x15 sections that you can just explore sections of, and it's like that is a good length, that is a good size for a maze, mm-hmm. right? And these were fucking sprawling and identical, and like it got to the point where even looking at maps, I had no idea where I was, you know.
In
Eye of the Beholder 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. The levels did not seem that large to me, per se, but the one issue I had was there was one point where I put a dagger in a dagger-shaped hole or whatever, and the map changed.
Huh.
I think, like, a wall appeared behind me. I don't know if I got teleported somewhere or if the actual map changed, but in either way...
There are definitely things where walls will open when you do things, and it's not at all clear
like
that's how
you get to the second part of level 2 after you've been through all those sections through the silver doors is a wall opens in the northmost
section. Yeah, and it's not at all clear what triggered that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was very confusing to me what was going on.
I mean, it's kind of the way that they handle that things that early in the game, I think is kind of unforgivable in a game that is difficult to navigate. I mean, I think they were just treating that as the challenge in the game, because the combat's not hard and the puzzles aren't that hard.
Right.
And it's like, that's not a challenge that I'm excited to face.
Yeah. I mean, video game designers as a whole have moved past the maze as a puzzle element years ago, I feel like. So it's weird.
Maybe.
It isn't fun to get lost.
Metroidvanias are kind of mazes. That's,
it is. I mean, it is but, a maze, yeah, I guess.
But
you know?
There's
fun mazes.
There's enough going on in it. It's not just like a hedge maze.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Mazes where you can, like a maze that you are inside is way less fun than a maze on paper, right? Where you can see the whole thing, right? Like a maze with a map doesn't seem like a maze. It seems like a sort of a puzzle to solve, right? Like where mm-hmm. do I, where haven't I gone? What do I need to do to get past this obstacle in this one place?
Right.
And so it's less that than like, where the fuck am I and how do I get out of here?
Sure, sure.
Right. That's not a thing that happens to you in Metroid. It did in the first Metroid. And that's why I don't think the first Metroid holds up.
Huh?
At least not for me. Zero Mission is great. And I would play Zero Mission with the old school Metroid graphics and be totally happy with it. But the lack of any kind of direction.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in making my own maps for a video game anymore. Cool. So Eye of the Beholder 2, and we will talk about that in like 5 days.
Sure.
All right, so this is running pretty long, so I don't think we'll do any reader mail this week.
Okay.
How do they? How would they send us reader mail for us to ignore?
Well, they can tweet us at VGHotDog. They can email
us. They can just write it on a slip of paper and stick it under a rock somewhere that we'll never see it.
Skywriting in a city that we're not in. That works pretty well. You could write a message, put it in a bottle, and throw it in your bathtub.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Email us at vghotdog@gmail.com.
You could whisper it to a cat.
You could, yep. And then set the cat free.
I thought you were going to say on fire.
Well, that would also be a thing you could do. Yeah. You can go to our website. This is probably the best option.
Write it on a bomb.
Videogameshotdog.com, and all of these options should be available to you from there, and go to our forums, which is probably the best way.
And hey, you know what, guys? We don't ask you this often enough, but go give us a good rating or maybe a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, just go look at our podcast on iTunes. You don't have to do anything. Just click on it. That would be nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
That apparently helps us up cool. us in their little rating scheme. So if you've already rated
help
us, just
up us.
Yeah. Just look at it.
And visit our other podcast friends, like Overthinking It and the Jordan Jesse Go and all those dudes.
That's true. But I do not understand why iTunes does not track how many people are subscribed to podcasts. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like why? That seems like something they could totally do. And
how do you know that they don't? Why do you think that they don't?
That's what I've heard. That they do not track the number of people that are subscribed to these podcasts. Hmm. And that they generate the numbers based on reviews, new reviews, and number of clicks on the thing, even if they're not downloading it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like some sort of crazy magic. Yeah.
Anyway, give us a little bit of iTunes love. Help us help you spread us up us.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.